You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Allah is not God. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Allah is not God. Even the Muslim in their heart of hearts knows that Allah is not God because God put a conscience in him. Satan is the God of Islam. And Satan, the God of Islam, is not delighted by obedience, nor displeased by sins, nor merciful to the believer, nor disgusted with the forgetful, nor hostile to the arrogant. Satan, the Allah God of Islam, is above all associations. The Allah God of Islam is only delighted when Muslims kill Christians and Jews, people of the book. That's the only thing that delights the Allah God of Islam. And so it is absurd for anyone to say that Islam could ever be considered a religion of peace, and we'll prove that. Now, in contrast, the one true God of the Holy Bible cares, and his judgments are holy, just, and good. They are not arbitrary or whimsical or capricious like Satan, the Allah God of Islam. The one true God of the Holy Bible is near. He's accessible. He's close at hand and immediate. He identified himself, for heaven's sakes, as the I Am, the God of the now, right now, present. Always. And he can be reached. In contrast, the Muslims search for God. Their search for God will always find him to be unreachable. And true Christianity understands that all of humankind is guilty to be condemned, not only for sinful deeds, but for inherent sin, the sin nature or original sin with which all humans, except one, were born. Humankind is intrinsically evil, and this includes all of us, not just Muslims. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says there is none righteous, no, not one. However, God does not leave us there. He says to the sinner, your evil nature is perpetuated by deliberate rebellion. And you can do nothing to remove the guilt and shame in my eyes. You are damned to eternal punishment. So turn to me and trust me for salvation through Christ. I will enable you to make a new start, God says. This is the good news that the Muslim and every other human being needs to hear and understand. There's a problem with any society. Any society, Islamic or not, if any society thinks it just needs the right law, if any society thinks that if only it has the right law, it can create heaven on earth, they will soon enough find out they are deceived. All of history has proven it. The problem is that good laws can be, and often are, turned into instruments of injustice. And the evidence of this truth can be seen in every society on earth, Islamic or not. Human societies can never be perfect, for according to the Bible, and all honest observations of all societies can never be perfect. This truth is even most easily observed in Islamic societies. Whatever law of any society is weakened by sin, doesn't make any difference what the society is. And it's easy to see in Islamic societies, in fact, more easy to see than other societies. The law, even the law of God, and this is so very evident in societies under Islamic law, cannot by itself produce the obedience that God demands. And this truth is self-evident, that law cannot by itself produce the obedience that God demands. And Romans 8, 3 and 4 really expresses this truth, which is most evident, in fact, in Islamic law societies. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Muslims are prevented by Satan, the Allah God of Islam, from knowing the truth that is impossible for those in bondage to Satan in his largest religion of Islam to know, is about the true God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that he, in fact, condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In no way does any Muslim have any hope when they are so unrighteously being taught that non-Muslims are subhumans, for Muslims to kill or enslave for Satan, the Allah God of Islam, and its bondage to Satan. Everyone knows, with the possible exception of the very vain and super-deceived cults like Mormons and other Luciferians, that no man can become God. However, as any honest observation of nature, you know, if anyone would make an honest observation of nature, which nature's God created, it is proved, just by what we can see, that the one true God must be almighty. And so, therefore, since the true God is almighty, it certainly must be possible for God to manifest himself and show himself in the form of a man. If he's almighty, he can sure do that, can't he? If God is almighty, if he wants to manifest himself and show himself as a man, he can do that. Otherwise, he ain't almighty. And you look at the creation. And the God that put this thing together, he is almighty. And if he wants to manifest himself as a man, nothing can stop him from doing that, whether you like it or not. Is it not possible for God to manifest and show himself in the form of a man? The only honest answer, if you believe in the almighty God who created the nature that we see around us, the only honest answer is yes. And the truth of history is that is exactly what God did do. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nobody should perish. Most will. All Muslims will. You know, what is so illogical about those bound in Satan's largest religion is that they do not wonder why this Allah God cannot fight his own battles. That amazes me. Why must this Allah God have his people bound in his religion do his killing for him? Why can the Allah God not fight his own battles? Certainly the God of the Holy Bible not only fights for his people, but in fact demonstrated he was willing to die the most horrible death that humans could ever come up with when he manifested himself in the form of a man to die for his people. He doesn't ask his people to kill anybody. As a matter of fact, he says, do not kill. Thou shalt not kill. What's there not to understand about that? When he manifested himself in the form of man, he did die for his people. What an awesome difference between Satan, the Allah God, and the God of the Holy Bible. Christians have tried to establish religious states based on the Bible, but they have all disappeared. In many ways, the Islamic law could be considered good. And not anyone could honestly deny that the Torah of Moses is certainly good. However, the Bible says the Torah was given not to make men good, but to prove mankind's sinfulness and need of a Savior. The perfect law of the one true God of the Holy Bible is given to lead humans to Christ, the only Savior. And that one and only Savior is God the Son, who was manifested in the flesh of a man to be the Lamb of God, of whom Abraham did prophesy that God would provide himself a Lamb. God gave his law, which is holy, just, and good, to expose the helpless condition of all humankind, so that they would turn to Christ for salvation. And any attempt to establish a social and political order outside of Jesus Christ as the head is in fact and in truth rebellion against the will of God. Islamic law societies prove that truth so profoundly that no Muslim with any integrity can deny. And please don't misunderstand. I'm not defending Western imperialism. I'm defending the gospel of Christ. And for the most part, the West has rejected the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he will return and set up his kingdom based on truth and justice and righteousness. The gospel of God, the good news, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And all should see this good news. This is good news. And serious consideration of this most well-established fact of all history should have an immediate reaction, like anyone can see in the confession of Thomas when he met the risen Lord Jesus. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Understand, Jesus does not rebuke Thomas for his declaration of faith. And anybody, the Jehovah Witnesses, all of them, not just the Muslims, but everybody ought to see that declaration, that Jesus does not rebuke Thomas for that most foundational declaration of faith. And anyone should see rather how that Jesus affirms him and his witness and testimony, and that Jesus is God the Son. And he only tells Thomas that he really should have believed this earlier. And then we read that Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. Thomas was an apostle. Even the Quran says of the apostles of Jesus that his disciples are Allah's helper. The Quran says the disciples of Jesus believe in Allah. And the Quran wants to claim them to be Muslims and truthful witnesses in Surah 3, verse 52. However, we do see right here the central truth of God's good news to humanity, of all of humankind. And it's clearly seen to be the faith of Jesus to be God, who came to live among us and is finally proven to the disciples through the encounter with the risen Lord. Are the disciples liars? That's a big problem for Islam, I'm going to tell you. Are the disciples liars? If not, is then Jesus a liar? And if not, then it is again God who would be the one who appears, according to the Quran, to be the liar. The one who would be the only one left to the conclusion that the deception, if it is a deception, originates with God, say. That's a big problem for Islam. A big, big problem. You see, the Muslim theory that God made it appear to them like Jesus died on that cross, but he really didn't. That's a big problem. And it does not make any sense whatsoever. And that core teaching of Islam and every satanic religion on earth, that core teaching of Islam is totally illogical and irrational. It makes God a liar and a deceiver who leads people to believe the one thing that he supposedly hates the most. Oh, you see what a big problem for Islam that is? How can any Muslim possibly believe this? No one who thinks logically could believe that. There is no possible, imaginable explanation of Islam for that fact. Not even the license to lie of abrogation can explain that one satisfactorily. The appearance theory of Islam, that appearance idea, that illogical explanation attempt might solve the historical problem, but it creates more problems than it's solved. It is horrendous in its consequences in regard to the character of God. And so we got a real crucial question for the Muslim. If Allah deceives those honest submitters, how could you or anyone, including Muhammad, trust what the Allah God says in the Quran? There is no reason to believe that the companions of Muhammad or even Muhammad himself were not just as deceived by Allah as the disciples of Jesus were deceived by him. And also, the Quran itself then becomes part of the scam and part of the deception tactics of this Allah God. You see what a problem that is for Islam? I just tell the Muslims, think, think. If this is the nature of God, then I cannot trust anything he does or says. And then there is absolutely no point in becoming a Muslim. Now, on the other hand, real Christians do believe that God is truth personified. That it's the only thing God cannot do is to lie. And that he is trustworthy. And therefore, Surah 4, 157 gives me a very strong reason to doubt not just the Quran, but to know that the Quran is a book from Satan. In every religion of Satan, the truths of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ on a Roman cross outside the gates of Jerusalem on Wednesday, Nisan 14 and 30 AD is denied. Yes, every religion of Satan denies the crucifixion, death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Every single satanic religion. Or when the Quran says in Surah 4, 157, and they're saying, surely we have killed Messiah, Isa, son of Maryam, the apostle of Allah. And they did not kill him, nor did they crucify him, but it appeared to them so, like Isa. And most surely those who differ therein are only in doubt about it, and they have no knowledge respecting it, but only follow a conjecture that they killed him not for sure. When I read that, I know that it was an angel of Satan that gave the Quran to Muhammad. There is no doubt about it. Satan is the one behind the Quran. Satan is the Allah God of Islam. Every satanic religion denies that central, most profound truth of all history. The God of the Quran, the Allah God of Islam, is none other than the father of lies, Lucifer, Satan, the devil. The Holy Scriptures give very clear testimony. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And light signifies moral purity, and darkness representing everything that is depraved and evil. And God condemns lying as evil many, many times throughout the Scriptures. God said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ is God the Son. Believe it or go to hell. People who truly believe that and prove it by their lives will not end in the certain destiny of hell that Surah 1971 explicitly says no Muslim, not even Muhammad, can avoid. The certain destiny of hell. And Surah 1971 says it so explicitly and unequivocally that nobody can wiggle out of it. This religion of Islam is very obviously Satan's largest religion. Everybody knows Allah is not God. Everybody knows that. Even the Muslims, in their heart of hearts, they know that Allah is not God. But they also know, if you're in an Islamic community, an Islamic country, you risk your life if you question any of the teachings of Islam. You keep your mouth shut and don't talk about it too much. Just whatever the imam says, you agree with it. And that's the way it's done. Islamic countries like Egypt, for example, and that's not as extreme country as Iran or Pakistan or Saudi Arabia, but in Egypt, when a Coptic Christian is killed, the crime is not even investigated because it's not considered to be a crime. It's not a crime to kill Christians or Jews or anybody that's not a Muslim. It's not a crime. It's not even investigated. In fact, it's the only thing that the God of the Quran, the Allah God of Islam, seems to be pleased with if Muslims kill non-Muslims. That's the only thing that seems to please the Allah God of Islam. It's celebrated. And I think it's good for Christians to have some basic understanding of Islam, because it's still our duty to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. These poor people were born in bondage to Satan. Islam is Satan's largest religion. It is the religion of the father of lies and his prophet Muhammad. We don't have any problem at all with Muhammad being Allah's prophet. The problem is that Allah is the moon god, just an alias for Lucifer, Satan, the devil. That's the problem with Islam. And we still have a duty toward these people. Now, the thing that doesn't get talked about very much is this principle of abrogation. And it is a setup for confusion, a setup for deception, a setup for lies. And the teaching of abrogation is that Allah gave better verses later. Now, that should beg the question, how come Allah couldn't get it right the first time? Well, obviously, Allah is the father of lies. And the whole Quran and the whole teachings of Islam is a setup for lies, deception, and confusion. Everything in the Quran abrogates to this surah number 9. This is the last word of Allah. Everything in the Quran abrogates to this. Everything in all of Islam abrogates to this surah number 9. It's the last surah. Nothing in this can be abrogated away from. And I'd like to go through these surahs to see what they say. Does the surah advocate a non-human status for any non-Muslim? Does the surah advocate the killing of non-Muslims? Does the surah do away with every and any moral obligation to non-Muslims? And see if we can kind of break this thing down a little bit. So let's start out with the first one. Surah number 9 is the immunity. The God of Islam, Satan, the father of lies, gives immunity to all those bound in his religion from any sort of moral responsibility to any non-Muslim. The clear teaching of the religion of Islam is that any non-Muslim is fit only to be killed or enslaved. The first verse, this is a declaration of immunity by Allah, Satan, and his apostle Muhammad toward those of the idolaters with whom you made an agreement. That says any agreement that a Muslim makes with a non-Muslim is a non-binding agreement. It is a setup for lies and deception. Then in the second verse, so go about the land for 4 months and know that you cannot weaken Allah, Satan, and that Allah, Satan, will bring disgrace to unbelievers. Satan will help the Muslim do away with all of the non-Muslims, Christians and Jews in particular, but that is the religion of Satan, to kill and destroy using lies and deception, Jews and Christians, number one, and the other people before they might gain any knowledge of the true God. Verse 3, and an announcement from Allah and his apostle, that's Satan and Satan's prophet, to the people on the day of the greater pilgrimage, that's Satan and Satan's prophet, saying Muslims are free from liability to the non-Muslims, the idolaters they call them, and therefore if you repent, it will be better for you, and if you turn back, then know that you will not weaken Allah or Satan, and announce painful punishment to those who disbelieve. You see what this is. For 4 months, the Muslims are to go and make deals, make covenants, make promises, agreements with the non-Muslims for 4 months. While these agreements are being made, the Muslims know that there is no intention whatsoever to keep the agreements. And it should be clear from this why the true God, the God of Israel, says make no covenant with them, because it's silly. It is beyond ignorance gone to seed. It's just plain stupid if you know what Satan teaches his people in the world's largest religion of Satan, that they are totally exempt from any moral obligation, and in fact are encouraged to go out and make lying agreements. And this is what the whole peace process, the so-called peace process in the Middle East. But for 4 months, this is what Muslims are to do. They're to try to set up the non-believers by covenants that they have absolutely no intention of maintaining, absolutely no moral obligation. In fact, their obligation would be to intentionally deceive the people, make promises that are made in order to deceive. What else should we expect from the father of lies and the father of all liars? In verse 4, except those of the idolaters with whom you made an agreement that they have not failed you in anything and have not backed up anyone against you, so fulfill their agreement to the end of their term. Surely Satan, Allah, loves those who are careful of their duty. It's amazing, really, when you look at it. Anything to further Satan's goal of killing and destroying Christians and Jews. So, in verse 5, when the sacred months have passed away, then kill them. Then slay the idolaters wherever you find them. If you want to use them for slaves, that's okay. But that's not as pleasing to Allah as killing them. And take them captives and besiege them and lie in wait for them in every ambush. Then if they repent and want to join you in your bondage to Satan, then if they repent and keep up the prayer and pay the poor rate, leave their way free to them. Surely Allah, Satan, the father of lies, is forgiving and merciful. Absolutely not. He has no mercy. He has no forgiveness. He will destroy them when he's through using them. Verse 6, if any of the idolaters seek protection from you, grant him protection until he hears the word of Allah, and then make him attain his place of safety. This is because they are a people who do not know. If the non-Muslim says he wants to live, then they must submit to the bondage of Satan's religion. And that's the only way they're allowed to live. Surah 9, how can there be an agreement for the idolaters with Satan and his prophet, Muhammad? And that's exactly what God said. God said, make no covenant with them, because their intent of any covenant that they make is to form a lie that they have no moral obligation to fulfill, to set up the people to be killed, to be slain. How can there be an agreement for the idolaters, that's the non-Muslims, with Allah, Satan, the God of Islam, and his prophet Muhammad, except those with whom you made agreement in the sacred mosque? So as long as they are true to you, be true to them. Surely Satan loves those who are careful of their duty. They will be allowed to live if they become Muslims. Otherwise, they are to be killed. However, you can enslave them if you want to. How can it be, verse 8, how can it be While if they prevail against you, they would not pay regard in your case to the ties of relationship nor those of covenant. They please you with their mouths, while their hearts do not consent, and most of them are transgressors. Now, it's interesting. This word transgressor is not ever defined in the Quran. This is why you see, once Islam is in full control of an area, once it is under Islamic law of Satan, and once they have driven out or killed all of the non-Muslims in an area, then they begin to kill themselves, because all that's necessary in order for you to kill another Muslim, if you're a Muslim, is to accuse the other one of being a transgressor. Satan, ultimately, in his religion of Islam, will kill all human beings. And this becomes more clear as you study this surah number 9. But anyone who says that Islam can be a religion of peace is ignorant of what Islam teaches. This, what we're looking at here in surah number 9, is the teaching of Islam, that non-Muslims are not human. They are subhuman, and the religious duty of every Muslim is to kill all of the non-Muslims, and all you have to do, take a look at Gaza. Once all the Jews were driven out of Gaza, sadly by the Israeli government, once all the Jews were driven out, then the Muslims kill each other. It is a pure satanic religion from the father of lies, who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I think it's good that we know that much. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.